hope that your worship experience here may be a blessed one. I'd also like to personally say good morning to Phil and to Pat, Colleen, and to Tim. Happy Sabbath, good morning, and to Bill, and to Justin, Charles, and to Manuel. You know, whether we like it or not, we like to hear our names. Yeah, our names sound nice when people repeat them. In the Old Testament, biblical times, names were very, very important. Because the meanings that they had, it had to go with the character. And here's just some of the names that you're looking here. Names that have meaning. I mean, not that your names don't have meaning, but I could have put all of your names here. They all have a beautiful, beautiful meaning. Unfortunately, that today, sometimes, and I've seen it, sometimes the names that sometimes parents pick for their children are names that are popular at the time. Maybe it's the name of the person of the soap opera that everybody's talking about, so that's who they name their child after, whatever it might be. But here's one thing, and I hope you don't take it personally, that of all the names, and all your names are beautiful, but of all the names, there is a name that is even more beautiful than all the other names. And that is the name of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus. Paul, you know, he exclaims this. Therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name. What name is that? Jesus. The name which is above any other name. And that is biblical. I know I like my name, but Jesus is above any other name. There are thousands and thousands of songs written about Jesus. And I think we all know one, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Do you remember that? Yes, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then it goes, Master, Savior, Jesus. It says like the fragrance of the rain. Have you ever smelled fresh rain? It smells good. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim that kings and kingdoms will pass away. And we have seen in history that they have passed away. But there is something about that name. It will never, never pass away. You know, in the Old Testament, there's more than 100 titles and names to Jesus Christ in the Bible. More than 100 titles. And that's what I'm going through in the evening worship here at Second Wind. I'm going through a series titled The Portraits of Christ. And that's, we're inviting each one of you who would like to come and listen to that. But the names of Jesus, and the question is why? Why so many names for Jesus? Could it be that in all His greatness, in all His glory, we just could not find just one name that would just give the whole description of the definition of Jesus Christ and what He does for us. If you have your Bibles, I would like to invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And I'll start reading with verse 26. And I'll be reading out of the God's Word version, so it might read a little bit different in your Bibles. 6 months after Elizabeth had become pregnant, God sent an angel, the angel Gabriel, to Nazareth, a city in Galilee. The angel went to a virgin promised in a marriage to a descendant of David named Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel entered her home, he greeted her and said, "You are favored by the Lord. The Lord is with you." She was startled by what the angel had said and tried to figure out what this greeting meant. And then the angel told her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will become pregnant, give birth to a son, and name him Jesus. He will be a great man and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. Your son will be king of Jacob's people forever, and his kingdom will never end." Isaiah prophesied about Christ's birth many, many centuries back. And this is what he wrote in Isaiah 9:6. "A child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." I'd like to just go over these things with you, these titles, because they're very important, and we all should know about them. Wonderful Counselor. If you have a King James Bible, you will notice that there is a comma right between Wonderful and Counselor. For the purpose of this morning, I would just like to read it as Wonderful Counselor, because you and I need a Wonderful Counselor. You and I know that whether we like it or not, we need a counselor. If you agree with what I'm going to say, you say amen. Life is hard. Life is complex at times. Very complicated at times, doesn't it? It seems like there are certain things that we feel like, how am I going to get out of this one? This is so complicated. Let me tell, is life problematic? Amen. Yes, it is. It's problematic. And sometimes we look at everything that's happening around us and we say, "Lord, what's happening?" And in times like that, you and I, we need divine counsel. And this morning, I would like to tell you that we have a wonderful counselor. It is Jesus. A wonderful counselor that was born unto us. What does a counselor do? Well, I'll tell you what a counselor does. A counselor advises. A counselor instructs. A counselor guides. As a matter of fact, in order for a counselor to do the best for you, a counselor needs to be involved in the intimacies of your life. He does. Or she does. They direct us in periods of crises. And in periods of trouble, they're there for us. You know, I believe that being a counselor is a great responsibility. As a matter of fact, I'll take it a step further. I believe that being a counselor is a sacred responsibility. And that's where Jesus comes in. Let me tell you, just give you a few suggestions about qualifications for a counselor. Just in case you need to go and find a counselor. Number one, this counselor needs to be accessible. And I praise God that Jesus Christ is only a prayer away. You know, I would be so disappointed that if I get on my knees and pray, and all of a sudden I hear, "Hello, you have reached the heavenly hotline. If you want to speak to God, please press 1. If you'd like to speak to the Spirit, press 2. And if you'd like to speak to Jesus himself, press 3. All prayers will be answered according to the order they were received. Thank you. That would be so disappointing to me. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way, because when we pray, Jesus Christ is accessible. He's there. He's there for you. Here's something else that you should know about a counselor. A counselor needs to be compassionate. He needs to be tender and loving. And this morning, again, I'd like to just reassure you that Jesus Christ is our tender, compassionate, loving counselor. He is there for you. He's there for us. You know, to Him, we are not just a case. Have you ever felt that way? Well, I have. You know, to the IRS, I'm just a number. 3, 5, 8, 9. 9 digits. That's what I am to the IRS. A 9-digit number. But they're not really. They don't call me and say, "Hey, how you doing? Are you okay with your taxes? Are you having any problem? Could we help you?" Jesus Christ loves us. And to Him, we're not just a child with a problem. Or I should say, a problem person. Have you met some of those? A problem person? Well, to Jesus, we're not a problem person, but we are a person with a problem that He can solve. Amen. Yes. Jesus Christ is aware of our needs. And He knows what is best for us, which is the fourth qualification of a counselor. A counselor must have a good knowledge of the person. And this is where some counselors fail, because they never achieve the understanding, a thorough understanding of you and me. John 2, 24 and 25 tells us the following, that Jesus Christ knows us better than we know ourselves. So is Jesus Christ a knowledgeable person? Yes, He is. A counselor should be capable. Capable. What does that mean? Well, that he is capable. Jesus Christ has all the wisdom. He knows everything about us, and He knows what is best for us. And His counsel, Christ's counsel, will always be inerrant. It will always be good for us. Now, have we at all times always heeded to the counsel of the Holy Spirit? No, we have not. But that doesn't mean that it wasn't the right counsel for us, because it was. And it will continue to be. The next qualification of a good counselor is he's able to communicate. You and I can communicate with Jesus Christ, with God Himself. And how do we do that? We communicate through prayer. But let me just share with you something here, because if we would begin to exercise a discipline, and that is the discipline of silence, maybe at times we would be able to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. We pray, which is good. We have our prayer time, and then do we take time to listen? For unto us a child is born, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. There are a lot of people that try to deny this or discredit the force of this statement here, that Jesus Christ is our mighty God. And John, in the first chapter of John, he goes right into who Jesus Christ really is. And there are three truths here in the book of John. And the first one is that he says that the Word, who is Jesus, was eternally existent. He says, in the beginning was the Word. The second truth that John mentions is that this Jesus had fellowship with God since the beginning, since the, whenever eternity started. John says, and the Word was with God. And here's the third truth. And this one, sometimes, a lot of people have problem with this one. But that's what the Word of God says. Jesus was God. It is clear. And the Word was God. And then it says, through Him were all things were made, and without Him, nothing. How much? Nothing that was made that has been, nothing was made that has been made. That's what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. He not only created the macroscopic, which is the galaxies, the planets. Imagine all those billions of galaxies that exist and those that we know exist, but we don't know where they're at. God created the macroscopic. Not only did He create the macroscopic, but He also created the microscopic. Yes, He polished. He was the one that polished every insect, the eye of every insect. And I know that you have not gotten that close to an ant before to see its eye. But that's the eye of an ant. Could you imagine that? And God, the creator of the macroscopic, is also the creator of the microscopic. He not only did that, but He painted. God is an artist. He painted the lily. He designed the color and the shape. That is my God. That is your God. You know, He crafts the geometry of every snowflake. Now, these are snowflakes. These are pictures of snowflakes. And there is, of the billions and billions of snowflakes, there isn't one that's the same. And they were all crafted by our Creator, by this mighty God. Isn't He great? He wasn't only mighty in the things that He created, but He was mighty in His birth. That was a miracle in itself. He was mighty in His ministry. All the miracles, He brought people back from the dead. He was mighty in His miracles. He was mighty in His teachings. He was mighty in His death. He was mighty in His resurrection. God is a mighty God. And we should be thankful for that, this mighty God. Like Isaiah said, He was born unto us. Everlasting Father. We usually, if you think about it, we usually associate this title with whom? With God. You know, God the Father. But here, if you read the text carefully, Isaiah 9:6, here this title belongs to Jesus, the Everlasting Father. In other words, the Father of eternity. This title speaks of Christ as being the Eternal One. The Eternal One. He's the one that holds eternity. Paul, many years after what Isaiah wrote, he said about Jesus that He is before all things. He is before all things. It's very interesting. People ask, and you notice that people will ask, who was Buddha? Or they would say or ask, who was Napoleon? But when they ask the question about Jesus Christ, it's always asked, who is Jesus Christ? Because these two, yes, they were. But Jesus Christ is. Yes. Jesus Christ is. He is the everlasting Father. Romans 6:23 tells us that Jesus Christ is the everlasting Father, that He owns eternity, and His gift to us is the gift of eternal life. When we accept this gift, we are giving the opportunity to Jesus to have us in the place that He has prepared for us, where we will live throughout eternity. We will live with the one Isaiah calls the everlasting Father. The everlasting Father. Isaiah 9:6 also says that He will be the Prince of Peace. Peace, since I've been here in this country, that would be 1972, that's what I've been hearing, peace. Peace talks. The world is seeking after peace. There's a famous French historian that estimated that there had been 3,130 years of war, in contrast to the 227 years of peace that we've had. Since the 15th century before Christ to His own day. And we're not even done yet. Because there are many, many wars. Right now, as we are calmly worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ, there are a lot of wars that are raging around the world. Peace. Today, nuclear destruction threatens us. And you know what? We should be concerned. I wouldn't say afraid. We should be concerned, because a nuclear blast, we're not talking about thousands of fatalities here. We're talking about deaths in the millions. We're not only living in the era of split personalities. I mean, in our world today, there are so many neuroses and psychoses that undermine the peace that we should have within. People are afraid from everything, from A through Z. There are people that are afraid of heights, which is titled acrophobia. I had a neighbor fireman he was up 12 feet in his roof trying to fix something, and he was grabbing onto for his dear life, and his wife said, could you believe that? He's a fireman that is afraid of heights. Acrophobia. And then there's all the way to Z, zoophobia. Now, if you have zoophobia, don't run. There's just a picture. People that are afraid of animals, they're just afraid. From A through Z and anything in between, people are afraid. People cannot sleep. Of all the people, of all the nations, of people that cannot sleep, we take number one prize. The Americans do. For some reason, we cannot sleep. And we have found the antidote for that. You take something in the evening, you sleep, and then you take something in the morning to wake up. we cannot sleep. And I believe that the heart of the problem, follow me closely, the heart of the problem of all this is really a problem with the heart. We need to let God take control of our hearts and transform them and clean them out. Clean our heart. Search our hearts and clean them. I also believe that peace is not an external thing. Peace is an internal thing. Peace comes from within. And Jesus Christ says that He is the Prince of Peace. When we let Jesus Christ into our hearts, truly into our hearts, it will help us in three relationships. The first one, we will have peace with God. Sin separated us from God. And I praise God that Jesus Christ came and He died for us, because that cross is sort of like the bridge that was extended between God and man. The cross brings us together. Number two, the relationship with ourselves is going to, well, just improve. Peace within ourselves. The times are not going to get any easier. As a matter of fact, I just heard somebody lost their job. But isn't it amazing that when we have Jesus Christ in our heart, we could have peace? Don't tell me I can't explain how that works. It's just like the blessing that we receive when we return that which is God's. How could you do more with less when you honor God than when you don't honor God and have 100% and yet you're falling short? How does that happen? I don't know. But it happens. It happens. We will have peace with ourselves. And the third relationship that's going to be affected, it's going to, you know, help when we let Jesus Christ be the Prince of Peace of our hearts, is that we will be at peace with others. We sometimes worship together. And we worship in the same building. But sometimes a brother or a sister might be far away from each other. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to be poured out in our church. The Holy Spirit wants to do mighty works here in Valley View, as a whole congregation, but He has to sort of retain all that power until we get united in one accord and in one purpose, and we start loving each other. Then you will see mighty things happening in our church. So if you're not at peace with others, won't you take the time to search your heart and find out why, and then do something about it? And if you're saying, well, it's too hard because this person did really bad things, I understand. It's hard because we let self in the way. So we need to ask God. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to give us that supernatural forgiveness into our hearts to be able to forgive those that have wronged us and move on. Isaiah 9:6 also continues to just explain to us that this Jesus is everything to us, should be everything to us. So what does this mean? Wonderful Counselor talks about His omniscience. God knows everything about us. And that could be a scary thought, but to me, it's a good thought. Because we could come to Jesus with all our intimacies of life, and He will understand. He knows. We need to be bringing those things to Him. Mighty God talks about His omnipotence, His all power. God is a powerful God. You believe that? I believe that too. God has all the power. Omnipresence, the everlasting Father, everlasting. He's always going to be there for you. He's always going to be there for me. He's always going to be there for all of us. He's everlasting. He's your Father. But unlike some fathers in this world, this Father, our God, is a true Father. He cares and He loves. And Prince of Peace? Prince of Peace talks about that inner well-being that we all need to have. Times are going to get rough. And in Isaiah 26:3, there is a secret of peace. Because if I would ask you this morning, how many of you would truly want to have peace in your hearts? May I see your hands? Yeah, the majority of us want to have peace. So let me just share with you where peace comes from. You will keep in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Could we all read it together? You will keep in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. So who are the ones that are going to have peace? All those that truly trust Jesus Christ. I like this picture. Christ, the true foundation of our life. He should be the true foundation of our life. Because when everything else is crumbling around you, when the economy is crumbling around you, when problems, maybe even family is crumbling around you, when everything is crumbling around you, Christ is the sure foundation. Is it going to get bad? Yes. But you know, when we have Jesus Christ in our hearts, there is no spirit of fear. There is and cannot be, and there will not be, a spirit of fear. Can I assure you of that? 100%. With Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, in our hearts, we will be able to go through anything and still be strong. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a child is born. And many, many people, they're still asking, who is this child? Who is this child? And you know, you could be telling them, this child is a wonderful counselor. This child is a mighty God. This child is our everlasting Father. He is, what's the last one? Prince of Peace. And it's this child that was born unto us. This child. There's something interesting about this, though, because I love the Christmas season. And I love what it really means. It should mean for us. That there was this child. Okay? This child that was born. But listen, this child was born, yes. But follow me. This child also lived a perfect life for you and for me. Amen? This child did that. This child died for you, in a sense. Amen? This child was buried. He was resurrected. But here's where it gets really interesting, and this is where I like to really emphasize. This child is not a child anymore. And the next time we'll see him as Christ our King. The ruler, the King of the universe, and in all His glory. And we've seen pictures of His glory. We have imagined pictures of His glory. And then I say that you take that and magnify it a billion times, and then that is the glory of God. Why do you think when He comes with all His glory the second time that people look at this and they run to the rocks, those that are not in Christ, they run to the rocks and cry, "Fall on us, hide our faces from Him." Why? Because the glory, it's too much. But those of us that are in Christ, we're awaiting His second coming. Amen? We're awaiting that. Christ, our King. Yes, He was a child. And I'm glad He came as a child. And even though we all know this is not really the date, but we celebrate that as His birth. Thank God for His birth. But this morning, I would also thank God that this child has a plan for you and for me. And that plan is simply this. There where I am, I want them to be there with me also. How long? Throughout eternity. So as this season has begun, the holiday season, when we remember Jesus Christ and His birth, let us not forget who He really is. He's our wonderful Counselor. Could you repeat it with me? He's a wonderful Counselor. He's also a everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. God bless you. May we continue to have a good and great Sabbath. And I'm going to ask if you would do me a favor. There are some hymnals right in front of you. Let us all sing together number 140. And if you don't get a hymnal, I should have did it a little bit in white, but maybe we could still see the words on the screen. Let's stand together as we close our worship service.
Thou didst leave Thy throne and Thy kingly crown when Thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for Thy holy nativity. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is of love.
That's going to be a great, great time when Jesus Christ calls our name. And He looks at us and says, "Welcome. Well done and faithful servant." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the opportunity that we've had to just review what we have known many years. That You are our everlasting Father, our mighty God, our wonderful Counselor, and that You are a Prince of Peace. Father, I pray that in our hearts, of all the things, You may put peace into our hearts. Put peace into our families. Put peace in our church. Put peace in this world. But Father, I know, and we know, and we read, and we see the things that are happening. Most of all, I pray that You may put this peace within us. And may we always, always stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Because I know that You're the only one that will see us through. Be with us now during the rest of the Sabbath. May we continue to honor and to glorify it according to Your will. It's my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.